Scripture today is from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another."
Always love when funny things happen in church, just like today. And I like when I read funny stories about things that have happened within churches. Some things you just can't really make up. I read recently about the Women's League, or we would call it here, the Women of the Church. In a certain church, they wanted to announce a new project, and the president of the Women's Association came forward that Sunday morning to address the congregation. And after a brief description, she asked all of the ladies of the league to march up to the front of the sanctuary. So a group of ladies of, I'm not going to say any age, but let's say a little older. The pianist for the church took it upon himself to give the ladies a marching tune to encourage them to come down the aisle instead of it just being real silent. He started playing a children's chorus titled "The Lord's Army." Now, if you're not familiar with these words, it goes like this: "I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery." In the pianist's mind, this was a wonderful marching tune to dramatize what the women were trying to do and marching up to the front of the church. Unfortunately, it seemed that everyone but the musician in the church knew that tune, which was a tune for another old song, and a song that my grandmother Lyles used to sing to me all the time. I mean, she sang it a lot. "The old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be, ain't what she used to be." Can you imagine? You might not have a job if you do that, Mickey. But you have to laugh. You know, I always say laughter is the best medicine. But funny things happen in church. But friends, all of Jesus' plans for the world center within the church. My lesson from John's Gospel is directed at the church. It reflects who we are. We are those who follow Jesus. We do not simply believe in Jesus. We do not simply worship Jesus. If we truly want to be the church of Jesus Christ, any church, and talking really about Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church this morning, we have to follow his example, follow his teachings, and love as Jesus loved. It's like a group of hikers who decided to climb up the Blue Mountain in Jamaica. And if you've never been to Jamaica, it's beautiful, and the mountains are beautiful. You don't think about it on an island. You're thinking about the beaches. But the early part of the hike was fine, but the closer they got to the top of the mountain, the more treacherous the path became. They could no longer walk in groups, but now had to walk single file. Halfway up the mountain, and it was getting really dark, and it just turned pitch black dark. The leader said, "Now follow my feet and do not venture to the right." Then he said that, he reached into his pocket and he took out a stone and he threw it over to the side. There was not a sound being made. Everyone was in complete silence. And time went by, and finally they heard a click against other rocks. From that point onward, no one tried to venture over to the right. They stayed single file, and they hugged the mountain over to the left till they got to the top and the glories that the top of the mountain would reveal to them. It's the same way Jesus calls us to follow him. The path may be treacherous, but if we stay close to him, if we follow him, love like him, then the glory will be revealed to us, some here upon this earth, but certainly the fullness of the glory when we reach heaven's gates. Our lesson for the day takes us back to before Easter. It's the Passover, and Jesus and his disciples have gathered for supper. Satan has already entered Jesus' heart to betray him, and Jesus rises from supper and begins to wash the disciples' feet. He then says to them that if he, as their teacher and Lord, would wash their feet, then they certainly should be able to wash one another's feet. Jesus then reveals that one of his disciples will betray him, but he does not say which disciple will betray him. So I think he probably thought that the group, or Peter himself, as he did in the garden when the soldiers approached and he cut off the soldier's ear, Peter might draw his sword and he might actually kill Judas. Throughout the whole experience, Jesus demonstrates grace and mercy. No surprise there. Grace and mercy are what Jesus is all about. And after Judas had departed, the events leading up to Christ's death fell into place very, very quickly. The long tension building up towards his death would soon be over. At this point, Christ turns to the remaining disciples and says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I have told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." This is very interesting. He really addresses his disciples as my little children. We're talking about grown men. We're talking about fishermen. We're talking about men who've been through life. But this is a term of love by which Jesus expresses his concern and his care for them. And then once again, he announces that he's going away and they will not be able to find him. This is not the first time that he's tried to prepare him for his death and leaving them. Soon they would be on their own. But he wants them to know that their separation will also be temporary. In time, his disciples would be able to go where he has gone, to that place which he has prepared for them. But first, they must endure a treacherous journey, just like the people going up the side of the mountain in Jamaica. Then he speaks these words to them: "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." There are some things that we need to take note about this teaching from Christ. The command to love in itself was not a new commandment. You can read about it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. It teaches the principle of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And the disciples already knew that they were to do that, but Christ told them to love your enemy. It's called the Golden Rule, and of course, variations of it are practiced even in Christianity and even different religions and peoples around the world. We were never intended to live detached lives from other people. Even football coaches talk about to their players about love. I'm sure just about every locker room and every sport, they're talking about the brotherhood and loving one another and helping one another out. And I first read about this little story about Vince Lombardi, and we know him, all the trophies he won and what a disciplinarian he was. And he said, "If we're going to play and win as a team, we've got to play for one another. We've got to care for one another. You've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the next guy next to him. How can I protect him? How can I protect the quarterback, the running back? How can I protect the tackle next to me or the center, wherever you may be? So most people might call it team spirit. When the players have that special feeling, you know you've got a winning team. And a team that is fighting one another in the locker room or on Twitter or whatever it might be, it's probably not going to be a team that is going to win a Super Bowl or even a championship. And here's what is new in our lesson for the day. We're not simply to love other people as we love ourselves. We are to love them as Christ loves us. And that, my friends, is not always an easy thing to do. This is moving the goalpost. The standard for love has moved from us to Christ. Christ's love is perfect and unconditional, and he extends it even to the undeserving. Because if truth be told, none of us are really deserving of the love of God. Christian love, like Christ's love, is unconditional and sacrificial, and that's the kind of love that we need to have for one another and for our neighbor. In our inspiring book and film, The Hiding Place, many of you read the book, you've seen the movie. Corrie ten Boom tells the story of her Dutch Christian family trying to help the Jews during the Nazi occupation. Corrie and her family carried a heart for the Jews over three generations. Her grandfather started a weekly prayer meeting in 1844 that only ended when the war started and they were being taken away and segregated. And Corrie tells a very interesting story about her father. When the Jews were forced to wear the Star of David, he also put on his sleeve the Star of David to identify with them. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He so completely identified with the Jews and what was going on in their lives that he was willing to wear a sign of shame and suffer persecution himself along with the Jews for the sake of the people he loved. He didn't have to wear it, but he chose to wear it. Jesus tells us in Luke 6, "But you who are listening, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? But love your enemies. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and to the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." This is a new kind of love. It is love that is usually only manifested in those who are totally committed to following Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. In the first place this love should be manifested is here, within the body of believers, within the church worldwide, but certainly within the local church. Just listen to the words again. "A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." That, my friends, is really directed to the church. We're to love one another as Christ loved us. This is how the world will know that we follow Christ, that we are believers, true believers. Ken Medima wrote a song directed at the church that contains several questions. "If this is not a place where tears are understood, where can I go to cry? If this is not a place where my spirit can take wing, where can I go to fly? If this is not the place where my questions can be asked, where do I go to seek? If this is not a place where my feelings can be heard, where do I go to speak? If this is not the place where you accept me just as I am, where do I go to be free? If this is not the place where I can try and grow in love, where do I go to just be me?" Great questions. The church is intended to be a safe place, a safe haven where we can be ourselves without fear of judgment and ridicule. It's intended to be a place where people truly love and accept one another, even with our imperfections. loving one another as Christ loved us, will never be an easy thing to do. Christ does not expect us to do that which is easy. He expects us to do that which is right. Stay close to Christ. Live as He lived. Follow the leader. Follow always the way of love. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. May God bless you. Amen.